So the big question is this: how do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answers.
Today, we're going to be talking about marketing, sales, alignment, why they never get along. This is actually a somewhat passionate topic for myself because I have function. I run marketing, and I've got my sales dev team. And so I'm often trying to figure this out myself. So I'm hoping Jeff can actually give some advice. So to bring that on, I've already kind of stolen the thunder just a little bit, but we brought on Jeff Davis, keynote speaker, coach. He's also got a killer podcast called the Alignment Podcast. Jeff, how the heck are you?
I'm doing really, really good.
Oh man, we appreciate you jumping on. Jeff and I met in Chicago a month ago, and home is Chicago. Born and raised, was it? I can't remember.
Born and raised. Not born and raised, but I've been there for 14 plus years, so I'm a Chicagoan.
That's long enough. So we met in Chicago, and we hit it off. I was like, man, I love the talk track that he's got around this concept of marketing and sales. I think you can sometimes find consultants, and sometimes, I think I even said this to you, Jeff, sometimes I feel like sales consultants, you know, it's like, what do? Everything. You know, it's like, I do every single thing on the sun. And I loved how you would kind of, man, I've got a real specialty here. And I was like, that's such a need. I think that's a cool kind of niche that you've really hit on. I'm sure there's some things around. So I'm probably doing most of the talk. And tell me just a little bit about yourself and maybe what you've done in your background and some of the fun things you've done in your past.
Yeah, so you hit the nail on the head. So I'm keynote speaking. I'm coaching businesses as well as running the podcast. So my story is really, really simple. I got really frustrated with the fact that sales and marketing did not understand how to leverage each other. I had no intention of starting this work. I had no intention of being a keynote speaker, but it just got to a point where I said, I have to find solutions because it's really, really bothering me. And really where that came from. So I started my career in sales, was holding the bag, did extremely well. But there were opportunities I saw that when we interacted with marketing, they didn't quite understand what we needed in the field. And so we would go to customers and be like, yeah, this is what marketing gave me, but let's really have a conversation about what I want to talk to. Or we would, you know, lie to our managers and say, yeah, we totally use that piece and we just throw it away. then you go to these big meetings and you lie to marketing. So like, everything's great. And so it just got to be really stupid. But I didn't have the language and I didn't understand strategically from the business standpoint, like how to articulate what I was saying. And so that was one of my motivations for going back to business school is because I wanted to have credibility as a marketer and to be able to understand like how they fit in the organization, because on the sales side, I didn't have it. So I went back to business school, transformed myself into a marketer and was on the brand team, did digital marketing, got out of corporate, went to startup space. But the crazy thing is, and I always had like this like burning thing in me about the alignment issue. When I transitioned from corporate to the startup space, the same thing was happening. So I go, wait a second. So this is agnostic of business size. Yeah. This is agnostic of industry. This is pervasive pretty much everywhere. And so I said, this is much bigger than what I thought it was. And so that's when really I started kind of doing research on my own before I started my business. And the answers I was finding were super superficial. They were like, sales and marketing should get along, have more meetings, grab coffee, have donuts together. I was like, that is not what I'm talking about.
So true. So I
went to dig into the data and then pull out some insights for folks to be able to use as a roadmap, as a template, as a guide to really thoughtfully align sales and marketing so they can drive revenue more effectively.
No, I love it. Like I said, I'm in the middle of it, so I'm interested to hear your ideas. Before we jump in, though, give me two quick questions. One is, outside of work, anything you kind of are known for? You're a big runner. I don't know. Anything come to mind?
I was an orchestra nerd, and so I'm big into music. I play a couple instruments, and then I also am a musical theater guy, too. So
is that right?
Yeah.
Actually doing the act? I mean, you jump on and sing, huh?
Yeah, I did a little bit. I did all through college, through high school, and then obviously still involved in like the scene in Chicago and still go. So that's kind of my secret job.
Your secret job. Yeah, it's funny. I did some acting in junior high age, and I loved it, man. And sometimes I feel like that's one of those hidden passions I've not been able to let go because I just think it'd be so much. It was so fun back then, but I got busy doing
stuff. Just going to sales at the same time.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe that's, I am acting. Look at me. This is not even me. This is like, you know, when I go back here, I'm all boring and I'm not like got the hands, the jazz hands going.
Yeah.
Second question real quick is this idea. I mean, you've obviously had a long career. If you haven't checked out Jeff's LinkedIn, I mean, just like he said, he did sales, he did marketing, he did an MBA, he did his coach, he did his consultant, and he just stacked up. If you ran into an aspiring sales leader, gave a quick piece of advice, or trying to figure out how to make their way in this kind of crazy situation, what would that be?
I would share something that somebody gave me early in my career, and I am super grateful for them because I think it has led me to where I am and to the success I've been able to gain, is focus on the opportunity and what you're going to learn for a role versus the money and the title. And I have led my career that way. Every time somebody's asked me why I've made a career move or why I've done something different, regardless if I'm making more money or if it's a lateral move, I go for what's going to stretch me and what's going to add a skill set to Jeff Davis. And it has been, I'll bet a lot, it's been challenging probably a lot of times because I've transitioned to roles where they were really huge shift,
right.
But I wouldn't take it back because it is made me, much more versatile, and it's also given me a perspective that like you can't buy.
Wow. Yeah, totally, man. That's one that's easier said than done, right? I mean, just lost somebody on my team, and man, took a job for just more money, and I'm like, man, look at this. I mean, I'm obviously biased because I'm here, but I thought the opportunity, the difference, but it's hard to see when you got the money goggles.
It's especially when you're young. It's tough, and I'm glad I took that advice to heart because I think that, you know, had I not, I don't think I'd be able to see things the lens that I have because I forced myself into situations that were super uncomfortable and was just like smile and cheese and figure it out.
Yeah. The great thing about you is you've danced around a little bit, but still been able to, you know, sometimes people say you got to go find your niche and go up, but I think you've proven, you know, you can, you know, find your way. You kind of did a couple different things, but still found your way to the top. So cool career path. Well, let's dive into this. Let's transition quickly to this concept of sales and marketing. I am just interested to take one step back. You talked a little bit about it as you were introducing yourself in just your own world. It sounds like that's why you've become so passionate about it, is because you really experienced it, correct?
I lived it. Yeah. And it's extremely frustrating because, you know, I would ask questions that, you know, that leaders would just not have answers to because they're so siloed in their approach and they have to focus on what they have to focus on. And so anytime you ask questions outside of that, you know, their bandwidth, it's just like, well, I don't know, that's a marketing thing. I'm like, well, we directly impact each other.
We're revenue together.
I look at us as a system. It's a revenue system. And so to say that we're two separate functions, yes, but we're all like we're intertwined as two groups and our success or failure is dependent, arguably, always on each other.
And why is fundamentally – That's kind of your perspective is what you've experienced. But as you look at it broadly and you've consulted different companies, why is this such a divide? I mean, sales and marketing, to your point, it's a little bit of a cheesy statement now because it's kind of, I know they don't get along, but truthfully, we don't know how to fix it. So we're a little tired of hearing it, but we don't really have the answer to fix it. But why is there the battle? What's caused it?
And so there's two things that go with that. I would first of all say I'm not convinced that it's a battle. As I've talked to folks on the podcast, the alignmentpodcast.com, I have found that the theme really is it's a lack of empathy. I don't think sales and marketing are odds with each other. They don't understand how to leverage each other in a way that helps them be successful.
Yeah.
And so because of that lack of knowledge of what the other does, that inherently causes conflict when revenue is not doing what it's supposed to do. That's the finger pointing.
Yeah.
More so than that, if you look historically how sales and marketing have been set up, You go back to, I believe it's the 60s or the 70s, when big corporations started creating these centers of excellence. They purposely created these silos so that those people became experts in marketing, yeah. experts in sales, experts in operations. In effect, what that did is it created these hard silos that people just did not cross over. And so we still are living in the residuals of that. Hmm. And because of that center of excellence approach, marketers, which they should be, right? They have a long-term view. And so they are looking out, you know, a lot of them are planning for Q4, Q1 of 2019. That's just the time space that they operate in. Whereas a salesperson, I have to make sure I'm meeting quota for Q1, Q2, yeah. Q3. Yep. So my point of view is shorter, and my angst starts around the 2-3 weeks before the end of the quarter. Whereas my marketers, it's like, I don't know why you're so stressed out. There's a disconnect in our perspective.
Yeah. Interesting. So we've kind of been trained that way. And sometimes when you train it, you got to break it down. I've got three kids who know that story. Do you feel like then, I feel like it, you know, I was alluding to this a little bit earlier. I mean, there's been this divide and people have kind of said, hey, you know, sales and marketing don't get along. And then they have this kind of, maybe it's the soft answer, right? Maybe they need to meet more together. I want to get into a little bit of this concept of what have you found that is then the key to start getting them working together more appropriately that isn't just they need to get along?
Yeah, so I think you have to get leadership on board, right? Like the frontline reps, whether it be sales reps or marketing managers, are only going to do what they're taught to do. And so as a leader, you have to learn you have to learn how to leverage your colleagues. So if I'm the CMO and I don't understand how to leverage my VP of sales and vice versa, and we can't come together as colleagues and understand what we need to do for the business, how can we expect the marketing managers and sales reps to have any interest or care?
Yeah, gotta because start at the top.
Yeah, if you don't know, they're certainly not going to know. And so I think that we have to look at, you know, sales and marketing as a revenue engine. We have to look at them as a system. And so it really is the job of the CMO and the VP sales to come together and say, look, we need to figure out the best way to drive revenue for the company, whether that be a combination of our skills or, you know, me taking this, you taking this. There's got to be pull through. And without those conversations happening, you're just spinning your wheels. And you see it like these people are working hard and they're saying 10X and 15X and 20X. I'm like, when does it stop? Because you can only drive yourself into the ground so much. It's yeah. becoming super ineffective. We're throwing all this technology on it. You know, I joke, it's a MarTech 5000. It's like the MarTech 7000 now. But the MarTech 5000 and then Nancy Narden does the sales tech side. All this technology, quotas are still being missed and becoming, you know, harder and harder to obtain. So it's not the tech issue. Yeah. You have to deal with the people and help them understand.
Yeah. Do you feel like, I mean, again, I'm in this place right now and I actually feel like I've succumbed the first battle, which is maybe just having an open dialogue with my counterpart, right? But sometimes I feel like where we lack is we can't kind of keep the communication open, and we're the heads of the departments, I guess, if you will. But I think we've established that point. But I feel like where we sometimes go wrong is devil's in the details, where we then start saying, how do we actually leverage each other, right? We're meeting, right, and we've got that dialogue and we're both interested in leveraging each other. Yep. But is there a couple tidbits that you'd say, you know, once you've established that executive connection and buy-in and they're both looking at actively doing it, is it a data thing? Is it a structural thing? Is it a technology yep. thing? How do you start to bring that meeting together?
So you have one piece of the equation that's really, really important. That's the communication. So when I look at all of the strategies and tactics that we kind of talk about when we talk about alignment, I found that there's all this stuff now that a lot of this data is great data coming out of CEB and all these other other analysts, but it's a lot to take in and it's a lot to think through. Like how do I consolidate this? And so when I boil everything down, it really kind of comes out to like three buckets, or I call them the three pillars of alignment strategy.
Got it.
Data, process, communication.
Data, process.
And I said data first because you have to first transform your organization into a data-centric organization. And not just data centric, but you really eventually want to become insight centric, but you need data first. Yeah. And a lot of times what I see is when sales and marketing come together and these leaders start working together, they realize they don't have the same data set.
Totally. Wow.
And so if you're not operating from a one source of truth, and maybe, you know, most times that's like the CRM, you have to start there first. That then leads to you being able to create a unified dashboard and then go through KPIs, that sort of thing, to track over time. But you got to have the data thing first. And, you know, and many times you find that, you know, data decays over time more and more quickly. And so sometimes you do need to get a data vendor in. But I, in my opinion, of all of the levers you can pull, data is probably the most important part of your revenue stack.
Well, and it becomes a big, I mean, just the piece on visibility, and I'm kind of using my own experience here, because we, I don't think we have, you know, the cleanest data, so we're going to have to put that one on for a different time. But, you know, the thing that I felt like, man, we just have had a lot of kind of come to moments where you're just like, man, we got to get focused on this, is that this outcome and being able to see it and visualize it together. You know, one problem is I'm basically a sales guy, that kind of like you turned marketer. So I'm not no marketing expert, and I certainly don't have the data capability. I'm not really that good at Salesforce. We got a couple of BI tools. My counterpart's a little bit similar, so we're not very strong in the visualization standpoint. So we've had just a hard time, you know, getting the data in a way that we can view it. And then secondly, you know, we've just the other day, I'm like, you seem to be focusing on, you know, he was kind of focusing more on, you know, a certain metric, and I was kind of focusing on a certain metric, and I'm like, oh, geez, man, we probably need to sit down and kind of bring those two together. And it was like an hour and a half, and I was like, Lo, you don't do focus on that like that. You know,
yeah. He was getting it should be a Venn diagram, right? Like in my mind, I visualize it as, you know, a revenue attainment is always the number one metric that anybody should be looking at.
Yeah, yeah.
Marketing as well. Some marketers get super uncomfortable with that. They're like, we shouldn't have a revenue target. Yes, you should. Yeah. Now, should it be part of your variable income? Yeah, we can argue about that. That's another conversation for another day. But there should be some KPIs and metrics under that are shared across both functions, right? So in my mind, things like average sales cycle. Both marketing and sales affect that.
Yeah.
You know, sales consumption of marketing content. Both sales and marketing affect those. Mm. Those metrics should be in a shared dashboard between the CMO and the VP of sales. And then post those, you then go into the nuances of what are like the super, super hardcore sales, you know, bottom of funnel stuff that, you know, marketing may not necessarily need to get into, that they don't affect as much. But those metrics that both teams affect, those are the ones that you need to be coming together on a regular basis to view, because that will be indicative and tell you what's happening in the revenue funnel.
Yeah, I love it. And I don't mean to steal more of your secrets here, but you mentioned a couple of those, for example. You know, there may be like a shared revenue, or that was interesting, content digestion, or how sales reps, you know, interact with content. Is there a couple that you found that you believe leaders should kind of have their mind on that is maybe shared metrics that you'd say, hey, you know, a good place to start, you guys, is maybe X or Y when you're thinking about metrics that you really should both be kind of watching across, you know, that have that overlap?
Yeah, I mean, so average sales cycle is one that I really, really like, because I think that it really incentivizes marketing to serve sales. And I do believe marketing exists to make sales easier. I think end-to-end conversion is another one, because it goes across the entire revenue funnel. And so it's those ones that span the funnel that are the ones that you want to look at, because I think that is going to tell you they tell you the story of what's going on in your funnel. And then also too, I mean, things like, where are your leads dropping off? Like where are they exiting the funnel?
Yeah.
Because that'll indicate, you know, if it's a handoff issue, because a lot of times it's an MQL to SQL handoff.
Yep.
That is not happening. But if you don't know where people are falling out of the funnel, and you know, 50, and I'm just making this up, 50% of your leads are falling off with that transition, then that's a conversation that we need to talk about SLAs and that sort of thing, of like,
right,
how do we ensure that there's less friction between that MQL and SQL, you know, kind of transition, or do we need to change the definitions and tweak and you know, decide what those really mean?
Hmm. Do you feel like, okay, so we got a little bit on communication, we got a little bit on data. Talk to me about this process concept. When you say process, what do you mean with that?
Yeah. So first of all, the sales process should be mapped to the buyer's journey. A lot of us want to sell the way that we want to sell and not sell the way that our customers want to buy. And that is fundamentally causing friction.
Yeah.
So you have to do your due diligence to understand, how does my customer buy? You know, and what is it now? 6.8 people on average are in the B2B. Like, so, you know, you coming in and saying, hi, here's my product. Let's do an exploratory call. Let's, figure out what you want and disclose. Like, that's not happening anymore. So it's not a linear process. The sales process now is a nonlinear process, which people come in and come out of phases. And marketing needs to be there to support you to be able to contribute the content you need in that phase, in that moment, to do what you need to do. So with that said, the process that you're following needs to follow that as closely as you can, so that you can understand what is happening in this funnel process. And the reality of things now, both the sales leader and the marketing leader need to have visibility for the entire pipeline. Sales leaders cannot just focus at the bottom of funnel, and marketing leaders cannot just focus at the top of funnel. The lines are blurring between the two, and you need to have full visibility for the entire funnel. And that's when I say the process part is key, because in those joint leadership meetings, you should be able to look at the entire pipeline and say, what is going on as a revenue engine? You know, where are things falling out? How much is coming in? How much is coming out? Like, all of those conversations need to be happening in those meetings.
Yeah, I love kind of this concept of data and communication and process. I mean, having consulted and worked with different organizations, do you feel like one of these areas is the place that's often the tripping point? It's like, oh man, where I find most organizations fail is more on the communication side, or is it data, or is it just all three of them?
It's really all three of them. I think, in my opinion, of the three, if I had to start with one, I would start with the data. Because reality of things is, if you have a great process and you have a great communication, but the data is terrible, like, it doesn't matter, because it's going to make you have terrible decisions because the data is wrong.
Yeah.
You can't fix wrong data.
Yeah.
And garbage in, garbage out.
Unfortunately, that's just the way it goes, right?
Right.
Oh, man.
You're just optimizing garbage.
Yeah, which I've done actually some of that. it's hard. It's that's the problem with sales. It makes sense intuitively, but, you know, God, man, sometimes when you do it,
it's much harder than people want to make it. Well, it's like, I say it like this, it's simple in concept, because when we talk about it, like, we're not saying anything like astrophysics.
Yeah, that's right. Like, you're like, we should talk to each other.
Right. Most intelligent people would say, like, oh, that actually makes sense. But in practice of actually doing it and being in the midst of, like, trying to get on the phone and, like, you know, track down people and create content, but, like, you get into the minutiae where you can't step back for 3 seconds and say, like, why? What's the why behind what we're doing? Because many times you'll find out, like, we should stop doing that because it's not working.
I know. And it kills me. The thing I used to hate the most about marketing, again, I'm in a marketing, I've got marketing responsibilities, but it's just sometimes I'm like, those guys are just running on a treadmill. As far as I'm concerned, they're just
running in place. And many teams are.
You know?
Like, if you don't have a
They good even team. Know that that doesn't work, you know?
Uh-huh. Or it's and like, keep doing
they don't.
It.
They don't, actually. And the funny thing is, I'm finding myself running on the treadmill with certain activities. Like, I'm like, I love that. And people are like, why are you doing it? I'm like, well, I should probably look
don't
at that.
Really know.
I should probably look at the data, you know?
And I think if you look at the culture that you set up in your organization, and if it's a culture of transparency and people being okay with saying, like, look, we tried it for 2 quarters and the reality of things is, like, this not achieving what we wanted to achieve and we're not hitting KPIs. We need to adjust this strategy and do something different.
That's right.
But it has to be okay to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like, one last question I want to throw out and then we can kind of wrap here. Do you feel like, I'm finding more and more need of, again, and maybe some people are better, but it's an operations or a marketing ops or in order to get this cleanliness of data, I'm feeling like, you know, we talk about the partnership between sales and marketing, but here we kind of have a central operations group. And just to that point on data, it's like, man, those guys, I actually literally invited the guy, you know, who kind of is supporting us. He now sits right next to me because I'm like, you are the COO of my business. You literally, you grab my pocket and you just you stay right here until, you know, I mean,
until you fix this.
Until that's fixed, do not let go of my shirt. I mean, do you feel like organizations are moving towards having a lot more marketing ops people? Do you feel like there's sales ops or supporting? How are they managing the operationalizing this? Because I can't, I mean, I've got, you know, dozens of, you know, I mean, not hundreds, but I got dozens of people reporting to me. And it's like, I got PR and I got BD and I got, you know, I got the events. And it's like, last thing I can do is spend a ton of hours in Salesforce tweaking things. Maybe I should. I mean, that's an excuse probably, but.
No, I see exactly what you're saying. I think there is an increase in sales ops and marketing ops opportunities. I think there should be because you really do. So in today's digital age where buyers are empowered digitally, data is the currency of B2B. Yeah. It's just, I would say you could argue the currency of any business. So if we fundamentally agree that data is the currency of our business, you have to have somebody to manage that to keep it as accurate and timely and relevant as possible, because those are really the three things that you need your data to be in order to make good business decisions.
Yeah.
And if you're not hitting on one of those three, like, you're not optimizing your data.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's a great way to end it, man. All right. Well, as we close up here, kind of closing remarks, quick summary thoughts, Jeff, as we talk about sales and marketing.
So I always kind of talk about, like, and I think it's a great way to close out our conversation, like the kind of the bullet points of building the business case for alignment. Mm. And what I share with people, you know, when I'm having presentations or working with them, you know, it comes down to a couple of things. Alignment must be supported by the CEO.
Yeah.
Tracy Eiler and her VP of sales, actually, at the time, Andrea Austin, wrote a book called Align to Achieve. It's a great book. I would say check it out. But they make the point as well that if your CEO is not on board, the effort will not be sustainable.
Yep.
Again, reminding people the modern buyer is empowered by digital. Sellers have to catch up, and most sellers are not where they need to be in order to sell in the way that buyers are looking for. Something that goes unlooked at is the loss of sales productivity and wasted marketing spend is much more costly than people think it is. Yeah. All the hours that salespeople are spending looking for data, not following up on leads, all that stuff costs money, and people are not really quantifying how much that is costing their business, and it's important. A couple other things I would add is alignment has been shown to be directly related to increased revenue and improved metrics. So we have the data that shows that.
Yep.
And then tech alone by itself, we got to stop throwing tech at problems. Tech actually is exacerbating the problems. And then I had somebody at my summit last year that came in. She's a change management consultant. And she said something that, like, really it brought it home for me. She said, people operate the tech. Yeah. So it's not about the tech. Yeah. It's about the people.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, oh, drop the mic.
Actually, there's nothing else to say. Have a great day, everybody.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's funny. I mean, because we, you know, we're a tech company, and sometimes I get on the call with salespeople. Yeah. And I also believe that, you know, it's like great, bad processes with good technology only make things worse. You know, I mean, you've got to have that right. And then to your point around people. And so the shiny object of technology can make a good process certainly better. But if you don't operate some other aspects, I can't agree more. So
yeah, somebody shared with me, what did they say? If you accelerate a broken car, you just break it faster.
Yeah, that's right.
The process is broken and you accelerate it with great technology, you're just going to break down faster. make it better.
Yeah, we need to come up with a couple of good analogies so people can grasp that, because it's not.
Yeah, it's exactly what you're doing. You're basically accelerating something that's broken so that it breaks down faster.
It's just like we got to get that through our heads. Easier, again, sometimes it's fun to just throw the technology because that's way easier than trying to dive into it.
Way easier. And you'd be like, look, I did something.
Yeah, I did something.
Leave me alone.
Well, yeah. Jeff, I appreciate you jumping on. I know it's late and getting close to the weekend here. So if someone wants to get in touch with you and learn a little bit more about what you do, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, a couple ways. You can check out my website, which is jeffdavis2.com. Of course, check out the podcast at thealignmentpodcast.com. And then I'm on Twitter at jeff_davis2. So you can check me out at any of those areas if people are looking for an awesome keynote speaker to come in and tell them what's going on.
You can see his energy, man. You can see his energy. Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
I'm your man.
And you got also, my stamp of approval.
Thank you so much. And obviously also open. What I really, really love is getting down to the details and helping coach businesses and helping them kind of uncover some of these things that they just haven't thought about, or to your point, haven't had the time and space to breathe, and just helping them be able to see things in a little different way. So that's how you get in contact with Jeff Davis.
Jeff, really appreciate it, man. Great talk track. Fun having you on. Looking forward to the next steps, you know, working with you in some form or fashion. And so for the audience, we'll wrap it and remember success. Just one play away. Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.